praise you. We honor you. We thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and the offering that was just taken up for our little children in Mexico and our local and our global work, Lord, as well. We love you. We praise you today. And Lord, I just ask you to help me, as you always do, to teach your word faithfully, accurately, bring all things to my remembrance. So let me say nothing, Lord, unless it's your perfect will. Lord, use me now and bless your people. May their ears be open to this word this morning. And Father, all those that we're praying for, those that have been so ill, we just lift up to you right now that you touch them and make them whole in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to be this morning in verse 12. Let me read our text to you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. And it happened when Jesus was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, as just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness, and there it says that Jesus prayed. Now, someone's going, well, Bill, you're supposed to be in verses 1 through 11. But see, verses 1 through 11 I've already covered. Remember, that was our New Year's message, 2014, the year of fruitfulness, the year of our fruitfulness. So if you were not here for that, I really encourage you to go pick that up at the bookstore after the service, because we're going to be here in verse 12 beginning this morning. Now, we left off. Jesus is Lord over everything, over creation, all power and authority has been given unto him. Amen. He's the God-man, and he is among us. And we left off with him casting out demons and so forth. This morning, we're going to find an unusual individual coming to him, a man who is a leper. And as he comes to him, there's a problem that we find. You see, if a person was a leper during that time, he was supposed to warn those who unknowingly were approaching him, and so forth. But this man, he didn't give any warning at all. Matter of fact, he was supposed to have a bell on that was ringing to warn the individual. He was supposed to be 50 paces downwind, 150 paces upwind, or whatever, and he was to shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. In other words, I'm a leper. Don't come near me. If you do, you're going to have the possibility of catching this same disease that I have. But the leprous man, he didn't do this. This morning, I want to talk to you from the subject of being eaten alive. Say that with me. Eaten alive, beginning in verse 12. And it happened when Jesus was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The word behold there is very interesting. It means literally, in this verse, it means all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this man just simply showed up and approached the Lord Jesus Christ. And this nameless man, the first thing we have to do, because the scripture tells us what's wrong, but it doesn't paint a picture of his being, if you will, we have to look at his condition, because he's just not a leper. It says that this man was full of leprosy, which means he is in the absolute final stages of leprosy, which is absolutely horrifying. It means that his body, when he approached the Lord, no warning, no bells, no nothing. He just came out of nowhere. He saw Jesus, and he just came there, and he was completely covered, if you will. His body was completely covered with leprosy, and he was beyond help of any human being. And leprosy, of course, was the most feared and loathsome disease of that time, of that day. And this man who approached Jesus, listen carefully now, He was literally eaten alive. And that's what we need to see. You know, I'm going to tell you about this desperate man because I look at him and we, like you've already learned, see, number one, the Mosaic law said that a leper was never, ever, ever to enter into the city. You can't be around people. And Jesus, it says here, was not on the outskirts. It says he was in a certain city. Now, we know this man's condition, but the problem is we don't see this man's condition. Again, to be full of leprosy means he was totally eaten alive. He was a walking dead man. There was absolutely no hope left in his life. And he was in the final stages. And if you will, not trying to upset your thinking or anything, this is not pleasant about what I want to tell you, but it's important that we have a visual, if you will, of this individual who's coming to Jesus wanting healing in his body to be cleansed of this horrible, horrible disease. You see, at this stage of the game, in a leper's life, in the final stages where it says he was full, meaning completely eaten up with leprosy, what happens is that there in the body, the person's face, every part of the body is changing. But unfortunately, the face becomes such deep furrows and wounds in the face along the eyes and in the cheeks and the eyes, the head, forehead and so forth, that they bunch up and the individual face starts looking like that of a lion, if you will. And that's exactly what this person was doing and looking like. And, you know, this disease at this stage means that the fingers and the toes either they have fallen off, or they're literally absorbed into the body. They're just absorbed. They're eaten totally away. And all of your eyebrows and stuff and eyelashes, they just simply fall off. And the limbs become so deformed that they just literally fall off the body. This is a horrible, horrible, wicked disease. And not only that, it affects the person speaking, the larynx. And their voice becomes raspy and hoarse and hard to speak. And they have to growl out their words almost. And that's exactly the sound that Jesus heard when this man came to him. And not only that, when a leper is in this condition because of the rotten flesh that's being eaten away of his body, there is a terrible odor, a horrifying stench that is resting upon him. And this man was full of leprosy. He was literally being eaten alive. Now, some of you are probably saying, Bill, I don't think that's really the way it was. That's what leprosy does when you're in final stages. Do you remember, you know, there's only a few accounts of leprosy in the Bible. One of the accounts is found in Numbers chapter 12. Speaking of Miriam, when she and Aaron, the brother and sister of Moses, criticized Moses, and God showed up and said, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on now. I'm adding to scripture. Okay. He says, what are you doing speaking against Moses? I speak to this man face to face. He is a prophet of God. And remember what happened. Miriam's body, it said, was half consumed with leprosy. That means that half of her body was literally eaten away. Matter of fact, in the Hebrew, the implication is it looked like a miscarriage had occurred. And so there was Miriam, and Moses looks over and half of his sister's body, the flesh, is literally consumed. And Moses cries out and pleads for her and begs for her, says, oh God, please. And God says, listen, should she be allowed to just spit in your face like that? Let her be locked away for 7 days. Well, you don't mess with the Lord. Amen. So the reason I told you all that is yes, this man is full of leprosy. He is a walking dead man. He's being eaten alive. His whole body is diseased and full of it. And at this point, you know, you're asking yourself, well, Bill, if all of those things are happening, the face of the lion, his fingers, toes, and everything falling off or whatever is occurring, how in the world can this man come and approach Jesus? Surely he must have been in some too much pain to do so. See, that's another problem with leprosy in the final stages. Is that the nerve endings are complete. You don't have any feeling hardly at all. Leprosy then is painless because the warning system of pain is simply gone from the body. I've read books about in India, the lepers of India, and that the author stated that he watched literally lepers there stick their hand into a fire to pull out a bake, one of the potatoes that had been cooking and had absolutely no feeling at all. He, in this book that I read, it said that lepers there could walk across and maybe step on a glass or cut themselves to the bone and they did not even know it. He writes that the lepers there in India, that when they fell asleep at night and the rodents came in, I don't need to go any further, they would wake up with parts of their body gone because they were eaten away. And they had no idea that those things were occurring. That is what leprosy does. And you say, okay, Bill, I don't think I want to hear any more, but let me finish the picture of this man who is full of leprosy who came to Jesus. You see, this man wasn't always a leper, was he? No. How does leprosy begin? Or if we know from Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, it begins like a spot, like a little white place, or a little sore or an open wound. And so I wondered myself, okay, I don't know if this man is married. I don't know if he had children. I don't know. Did he come home one day? Was he there at dinner, at the dinner hour? And the wife said, honey, what's that on your hand? What is that spot? And or did he wake up and he felt something burning and he looked upon his chest or something and there was a wound all of a sudden that he didn't have the day before. And he knew immediately because he was a Jew that he had to go do something. He had to go show himself to the priest. He had to be inspected by the priest according to Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14. And the priest would pronounce him either clean. He would look at everything, tell him there were certain requirements that he had to do, inspect him for several days and so forth. He would either pronounce him clean or unclean. And listen to that as I read, because unclean is one word he never ever wanted to hear. It says in Leviticus 13, 45, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn. His head shall be bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean all the days. He has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean and shall dwell alone. And his dwelling shall be outside of the camp. Now that was the law of leprosy. That's not a treatment for leprosy. That's not even the cure for leprosy because there was no cure. And to hear the word, to be a Jew, and to hear the word unclean meant total banishment. It means that you were going to be exiled until you were well, if that was even a possibility. And what's so sad, as we just read, he had to go dwell alone. The priest said, you're unclean. You have to go out now. You have to go outside of the camp. You have to get away from all people because you're contagious. You cannot go home. You can't go home to your wife. You can't go home to your children. You can never attend tabernacles or synagogue as it would be in this man's case. And can you imagine speaking to your wife and your children only from a distance? Now, of course, some of you do that now, right? Humor. It's just humor. Or your children, 200 feet away, yelling at one another, trying to communicate with one another. Maybe the wife would leave food for him and he would come and retrieve it because he would die unless he lived off whatever he could find, unless his family would help him. Imagine looking at your husband every week or month, and you see his body literally being eaten alive, the facial changes, the hoarseness of his voice, all of that. That's what we are dealing with. And this woman, or if they had a family, this man, it wasn't for a few days, it was forever. So here we have this person in the final stages, and this man's condition is this. His entire life is being eaten away here in Scripture. And matter of fact, slowly eaten away. He's in his final stages. And look at verse 12 now again. And it happened when Jesus was in a certain city that suddenly out of nowhere, a man who was covered, completely covered with leprosy, full of leprosy, saw Jesus, man's only hope. Amen. The Savior of the world. He saw Jesus and look what he did. Oh, he ran. He fell on his face. He implored him, which means he begged him, saying, oh, Lord, If you are willing, you and no one else, you can see me, you can smell me, you look at me, you know what I am. You know that I wasn't supposed to approach you. You know that I was supposed to have a bell ringing, and you know I was supposed to yell, unclean, unclean. Lord, I don't have anyone to help me. I'm being eaten alive. He says, you and you only can make me clean. You see, when he saw Jesus, he was filled with hope. And he had to have heard that the Lord was healing other people. Amen? But what's wonderful about this is that he broke the leper, again, he broke the law, didn't he? He broke the law. He entered the city, and there he is. Look at him. He's covered in raw flesh, parts of his body missing. He's speaking in that horrible, hoarse voice, and he shows up, and what does he do? He worships. He implores, which means he's begging the Lord, supplication. He says, remove the uncleanness, cleanness from me. I want to be whole. But I want you to notice something. He said, Lord, not why, Lord. Amen? You know, we're so guilty of saying why, Lord, aren't we? My first response, since I know the word a little bit, my first response would have been, when I thought about it, was this. Now, okay, why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why have I been alone all these years? Why have I been subjected to this type of life? Well, the truth of the matter is, God's law is what placed him there. Amen? God's law, the law of the leper in Leviticus 13, you dwell alone. You can't go, you're through. You can't go to synagogue. You can't be around anyone. But he did not come complaining. He came here and his entire life is being eaten away like we've already learned. And he wasn't blaming God. He just said, you're my only hope. I'm covered. I'm being eaten alive and I have no other person to come to. And then in verse 13, and then Jesus, now Mark's gospel says, then Jesus moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched the leper, saying, I am willing, be what? Not healed, but be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. You know, can you imagine Jesus doing that? I mean, putting out his hand, all these years people had stepped back from that person, had probably maybe even cursed that man, get away from me, get away from my children, don't even come near my home or whatever. This was the first time someone had even stepped toward him, and certainly the first time someone had touched him. But here's the problem there. It was forbidden, according to Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it was forbidden for a Jew to touch anything that's unclean. Think about that, friend. So we have to ask ourselves, and that was, did Jesus break the Mosaic law? No. He came to fulfill the law, didn't he? Remember in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, for he has anointed me. He goes through the whole list of the things that God had called him to do. No, Jesus fulfilled the law. He never ever broke the law. But the problem is that even if there had been one clean place on this guy's body to touch, there wasn't any. Do you understand? So we look at this, and so all of the damage that leprosy had done, immediately it was gone. I mean, think about that. His voice, he was immediately changed. If there were toes or fingers or ears or anything that was gone that had been absorbed and rotted off or whatever, it was all restored immediately. And we say, well, then what healed this fellow? Well, it wasn't Jesus touching him, was it? No. It was Jesus' word. I will. Amen. The moment Jesus spoke, that leprosy left immediately. The touch did something else. See, the touch is what healed his hurt. No one had touched him. No one had embraced him. No one would even have, he was an outcast in Israel. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. So the incredible power of the human touch when Jesus touches the untouchables of the world. And boy, I wish the church, all of us should be doing the same. Amen. Now let's look at verse 14. And Jesus charged him to tell no one. Now Mark's gospel said that this particular leper went out and told everyone. And he says, Jesus said, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing. as a testimony, or literally a witness to them, meaning a witness to the priest, just as Moses commanded. Now, that would be Leviticus chapter 14, the ritual of cleansing of the leper. Once, in other words, when a leper had been cleansed, there was a certain offerings that you had to go through. So he said, you go be a witness to them. In other words, this had probably had never happened. And he said, tell them basically that a greater one than Moses is here. Tell them that the Savior of the world has come. It's amazing that, you know, Jesus commands this healed person, now this leper, not to tell anyone. He tells everybody. He commands his church to tell the whole world, and we don't say a word. Kind of sad, isn't it? And he says, go and show yourself to the priest and make that offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded. I went through the Bible this weekend, and I tried to find, every case of leprosy in the Bible. I found 9 cases. There may be more, but I don't think so. 9 cases I found recorded. Moses is the first one when he was meeting the Lord there, you know, at the burning bush and all of that, where he stuck his hand in his garment, pulled it out, was leprous, pulled it back in, and it was not leprous anymore, to show God's power. The second event was there in Numbers chapter 12 that I mentioned earlier about Miriam, whenever she turned, literally was half consumed by leprosy. But as I studied out all the lepers in the Bible, I found no one being cleansed according to the ritual and the offerings in Leviticus chapter 14. Except maybe with Miriam in chapter 12, because she was shut away for 7 days and then the camp could start moving. Maybe that ritual took place there. I don't know. But then look at verse 15. And however the report went around concerning Jesus, all the more great multitudes came together to hear, to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, I want to make application for the rest of the service. You know, I prayed and said, Lord, are you sure you want me to say these things here this morning about this? We all know that leprosy in the Word of God is a type or a picture of sin. Amen? We all know that. And the thing about leprosy is what leprosy does to the body. It eats it alive, and it makes it disabled, and it makes it where it doesn't function properly, and you start dying. What leprosy does to the body, sin does to the spirit. Amen? Does to the soul. The identical thing, same thing. Sin eats up a person alive. Amen? And, you know, we know that leprosy, like sin, for example, you know, leprosy is more than skin deep, isn't it? It starts eating away all of it. Well, you know, that's the same thing it is with sin. You know, our sin was skin deep as well, because we were born in sin. We were born in Adam, the federal head of the human race, who he sinned. And so when Adam sinned, he sinned for us all. Romans 5:12. Now, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, leprosy, like sin, destroys the whole person. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. People that are outside of God, that are hopeless and helpless and aren't born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that they are dead in trespasses and in sin. So sin destroys, just like leprosy destroys. But leprosy does something else, just like sin. Sin separates us from God, doesn't it? It breaks fellowship. Doesn't break sonship, but it breaks fellowship with God. Now, the same thing with leprosy. A leprous person, they could no longer be around friends, families, loved ones. They could never go to the synagogue, could never show up for tabernacle. Any of those things. Sin. And the thing about sin and leprosy they have in common is, isn't it interesting that sin starts out small? Just a little thing. A little spot. It's just a little place on us, and all of a sudden, you know, if we don't get it taken care of, it starts to spread. And the longer we leave that spot, the greater it grows, the greater it grows, and all of a sudden we find ourselves stinking because we're in trouble, we're in sin, and we're being eaten alive by it. Now, loved one, you know and I know, talking to the church right now, we were all a bunch of spiritual lepers. Amen? We were all dead in trespasses and sin. Matter of fact, we were covered in sin, just like that leper. I mean, we were eaten up alive by its power. And thank God when we came to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Now we're in Christ. We have his perfect, spotless record. It's been imputed unto us. Thank God for that. And we're a new creation. And you know what? All of our sins, every sin that we've ever committed, past, present, and future, God, Jesus, died for them. Amen? And boy, they're far as the east is from the west. That doesn't give us liberty to live a life of sin, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. Jesus goes to the cross and dies in our place, takes our place. God treats him as if it were us. In other words, he treats Jesus as the sinner, even though he had never sinned. The Bible says, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, with all that being said, I want to make an application to us this morning. As I was actually going to cover more, and the Lord just would not say, no, I don't want you to cover any more in Luke. I want you to just talk about these few verses. You know, I want to ask the question that I felt the Lord asking me. Bill, what's eating you up? Is there something that's eating you alive? You have a spot on you. Do you need to get rid of it? You don't want it there. You know, Christians don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to go sin. Christians don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to go commit adultery. Christians don't wake up and say, I want to fornicate, move in, live together without the benefit of marriage. Christians don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to go lie. Amen? No, we don't do things like that. We don't want to do that. And so is there something eating you up this morning, eating you alive? Maybe it's unforgiveness. I don't know. God knows. Maybe it's anxiety. And if you have anxiety, I'm not beating you up for that, man. Maybe you have to say, Bill, fear is running and ruling in my life. You know, it's eating me. It's eating my lunch. I'm not beating you up about that. But I am saying I know someone. His name is Jesus. He is willing to cleanse you. Amen. And that's what we need to look at this morning. You know, we don't have a high priest, it says in Hebrews, you know, that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our trials, our temptations. No. Oh, no, but at all points he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. We can run to our great high priest. Amen. You know, you mean, listen, see, you had, if the Old Testament Jew had a spot, he had to go to his priest. Look, I don't know where it came from, but it's on my life. It's there. If we have a spot, we go to our great high priest. Amen. And I say, Lord, look, I got dirty. I'm really dirty. Matter of fact, it's no longer one spot. It's 100 spots. And I haven't been honest with you. I haven't been on the level with you, Lord. You know, what I say right now, I say with deep tenderness this morning. And I mean, there's not one word of condemnation in the things that I'm about to say. You know, but why is there so much sin in the church? In the church. And why is there so much pain? Why are there so many problems? Why do we have a divorce rate in the church today that's equal to or greater than the world here that we live in, especially in America? Why are so many Christians being eaten alive today that they're covered in spots when they have a great high priest who died for them, who makes intercession for them, and the Holy Spirit of God who not only lives in them but has empowered them to walk in Christ's likeness in a dark, filthy, vile, spotted, sin-filled world. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, what's going on here? What is the problem? You see, the problem is that maybe we like our spots. And maybe we feed them. And maybe we don't really want to be clean. Maybe we don't have a true biblical view of what sin is and what sin does. You know, leprosy, we've already learned, is painless. Is that true? Yes, it's painless. And a person can be eaten alive, and even though they know they're being eaten alive, there's no pain to it. Their fingers are falling off and so forth, but there's no pain. It's just they're being absorbed. And you know what I find out is that many, many Christians, they are numb to sin because sin has become painless to them in their life. How does that happen? It's because what happens is we become numb to hearing the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And our conscience and so forth, it becomes seared and so forth. And you know, there's a lot of Christians, and you know what they're doing today here in America, the 21st century church? They're sticking their hand into the fire like those poor lepers in India to pick out a potato, if you will, and they stick their hands in the fire. And you know what? The reason they do that is because they're grasping whatever they desire for themselves. And the problem is, not only do they not feel the flame, they do not any longer feel the shame. And that's things that are going on. It says in Hebrews 11:24 about Moses, it says, "And by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Meaning, see, he was on his way to become the next Pharaoh. And listen to what he did. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God," here it comes, "rather than enjoy," say that word with me, "enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." The passing pleasures of sin. Listen, why do people sin? Well, we have a sin nature. You know, if you're, you know, we have a new nature now. Amen. But why do people sin? Sin has pleasure. Did you know that? Yes, you fulfill those pleasurable, wicked desires or whatever. Sin has pleasure. You know what? Suffering, he said, "I'm willing to suffer." But he said, but suffering is only for a season. But sin is passing pleasures. It doesn't last very long. Amen? It doesn't last very long at all. It's only for a season. But what it does, it eats up a person's life. Now, I want to make an application about the 21st century American church. And I say a lot about that because I watch the church. You know what I mean? I watch, where are we going? What are we doing? What am I doing in my own life? And you know what? I like to kick myself, don't you? No, I mean, get going, Bill. Don't ever give up. Live every day for the Lord. Amen? Now, And I think that what's wrong, I don't want to be robbed of my fruitfulness. You don't want to be robbed of your fruitfulness. You know, we want to move in the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. But I think that what may be trying to operate in the American church at large, because American church is really, come on, we're a bunch of sissies. Oh, come on, let's not be religious on this service. Don't do that. You know, we're sissies. You know, we don't like to suffer. Oh, I don't like that word. Give. Oh, please don't tell me about that. You know, just, oh, God, give me my tax return. Let it be huge, but I'm not going to give you a dime. But let it be huge, oh, God. And you understand what I mean. We're selfish. We're self-centered. It's about me. And then the millennial generation. I'm praying for you guys. Oh, no. See, we have the Naaman complex. That's what's going on in the American church. Talking about leprosy. I'm talking about being eaten alive. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's make a quick application this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5. You've read the story 1,000 times, I know, about Naaman. But I want us to just look at it very carefully here, and then we're going to make the application on this. It says in 2 Kings 5:1 in the Old Testament, it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man. Naaman was an honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given him victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor." In other words, he was a brave man. He was a warrior. He stood tall. He was a great general, a great leader. But he was a what? He was a leper. "And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back a captive young girl from the land of Israel. And she was waited on, Naaman's wife." So she was Naaman's servant, wife's servant. "And then she said to her mistress, 'Oh, you know, if only my master," meaning Naaman, "only if my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl from the land of Israel.'" In other words, man, I can be healed of this.
I want to get this leprosy out of my body. I want it gone. I want to be made whole again. And the king of Syria said, well, listen, go right now and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. In other words, with you, he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver. That's 750 pounds of silver, 1,000 shekels of gold. That's 24,000 ounces of gold and 10 changes of clothing. Man, he was ready, wasn't he? And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, well, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, look what he did. He said, oh my gosh, he tore his clothes. He said, am I God to kill, to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal me of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. He wants to go to war with me. And so it was when Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? They were polo, okay? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Now watch carefully now. Then Naaman with his what? Horses. And his what? Chariot. That means his entourage. All of the people that were with him. All of the people that loved him, respected him. The people that were warriors with him. The entourage. They came and they stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent out a messenger to him saying, Elijah didn't even go out and see him. Here's a great general. Here's a person who is a man renowned as a man of valor, respected, honorable. And Elijah says, send a messenger out there, that'd be Gehazi, you know, his servant. He says, well, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Your flesh will be restored to you and you'll be clean. And Naaman went and washed. I'm talking about the American church. I'm talking about being eaten alive. The spots everywhere that we get on our bodies. Sin, in other words. No. Naaman became furious. He went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, in other words, I was thinking to myself, surely he will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand all over the place, strike up the praise band, you know, serve refreshments, have a little cocktail dinner after or something, right? And then he would heal the leprosy. Now listen, have you noticed that the true problem has now shifted? The problem is no longer Naaman's leprosy. No, that's not his problem anymore. The leprosy was eating him alive, but there was something else that was eating him alive too. It's called pride. And there we are, the church. Does pride have any place in the church of God? Does pride have any place in the Christian's life? No. And here he is, and he says, well, I thought, I brought all this money. Look at that clothing. I bought them all at Neiman Marcus. Look at that, all the gold, silver piled high. Do you see my beautiful uniform? You see my entourage, my chariots, my horses, all of my troops. Do you not know that I'm a great man, a man of valor? Look at me. Look closely at me and see who I really am. He says, are not the Arbana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And you want me to go down to this mud hole called the Jordan? And you want me to dip in that? So he went away, and look at it, in a what? In a rage. Isn't it amazing how people sometimes want healing on their own terms? And that's exactly what he wanted. Now, question, why was Naaman really angry? Why was he angry? Was it because did he have a problem with water? I'm afraid of the water. I'm afraid to get in. Did he? No, that wasn't his problem at all. You know, he knows something, just like us. See, we're in here this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have some spots on you? You say, Bill, I don't mean to, but you came in here this morning, raised your hand up, hugged everybody, told people that you loved them, and praised God all week long, but There's those things that are hiding. You know they're there. God knows they're there. Naaman knew his was there too. And I look at that and I say, oh Lord. You know, it's not the water. That's not the issue. You see, the truth of the matter is that he knows that he's somebody. He's famous. He knows that he's a general, a brave man. He was a brave man. He was admired by his own king. He was a servant to royalty. But the problem was, is that in order for him to be clean, he had to do something. He himself had to get clean. Amen. You see, he had to do something he didn't want to do. He had to go down to that river in front of all the people that was with him, the people that looked up to him, the people that admired him. And he had to take off his general's outfit and he had to expose what he really was. I dare say that Naaman, the great general, had a cloth over his face. The only thing you could probably see is his eyes. I would say that he probably wore gloves as well because he didn't want anyone to see that one of his fingers had gone and he couldn't hold his sword any longer like he used to be. He didn't want people to see the true condition that he was in. That's called pride, isn't it? And you look at that and he says, oh, I've got to remove this, what's eating me alive. I've got to remove my outfit. You know, I have found that I go sometimes in counseling and so forth with Christians and I say, why are you doing what you're doing? I just can't get out of it. And I said, do you see that spot? It's just, if you don't get out of it, that spot's going to keep growing. Amen. Isn't that true? It doesn't get any better. You know why so many Christians today are, in a sense, ineffective? I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. They're in trouble. They've got it all spotted up in life. You know, all the sins, and what happens is it starts taking them over and they're no longer effective. In other words, it's kind of like the leper. Well, my hands, my fingers are falling off, and now for I can't even use that, you become disabled. Amen? Not only do you disabled, even the leprosy, like the voice changes. And now in a Christian, whenever we're spotted and all full of that stuff that's eating us alive, what happens is we become ineffective. We don't even speak to anybody anymore about the name of the Lord or who he is. Why? Well, we're being eaten alive. We didn't mean to get back into it, but we got back into it. We didn't, all of a sudden, you know, there was something on the internet caught my fancy and I went and I just needed to get a picture. I just needed to get an image. I wanted to send it, but when I went there, I went, oh my gosh, all of that. And then the lust took over and then sin took over. But I only looked once. It was only one spot, but then all of a sudden the spot now is all over my body and I'm eaten alive with it and I can't break its power. That's a lie. Are you following me this morning? And I look and I say, oh Lord, that adultery, that affair. I love this woman, Bill. God, I love her, but I'm not married to her. I don't know why we're living together. It started out wrong, but the spot started growing. Now I'm ineffective and I can't sleep at night because of the sin. It bothers me. My mind, I'm tormented because I know I'm wrong. I'm being eaten alive. Jesus says, I'm willing to cleanse you. Are you willing to be cleansed? Let's go to verse 13. He says, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, oh, my father. Oh, didn't they just honor him? They loved him. In the name and my father. Oh, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have done it? Oh, how much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean. Now look what he did. So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was what? Restored like the flesh of a what? A little child. Listen, people pay today to have collagen put in their face, man. You know what I'm saying? Look at mine. No, I'm just joking. Think about that. Well, all of a sudden he looked, and you know where, there he came up out of the water. He didn't want to get in what God wanted him to do. Say, I'm going to take away it all. Can you imagine him looking at his hands? I mean, I'm looking at mine. I've never seen, Wrinkleville, okay? Listen, and he looked at his hands and it was just like a baby's hands. Are you following me? What does that mean? It means that God in his mercy and his goodness and Jesus in his mercy and his goodness toward us, whenever he says, I can clean you up, I can make all things new again, I can actually make your skin like a little baby, which removes all of the proof of your past is now gone. Amen. See, that's what Jesus can do when we get spotted in this world. We walk through a dirty world with dirty words and dirty things on TV and dirty things on the internet. This is a dirty, vile, sin-filled world that we live in. Spot here and a spot there. And we have to go daily to the Lord, to the throne of grace, daily and be cleansed every day. Amen. Every day we have to be refilled, Ephesians 5:18, with the Spirit of God. Every day. It says he was restored like a little child, his skin. And look what it says. And he was clean. Was it the water that healed him of his leprosy? No. Was it the Jordan River that healed him? Now, let me ask you a question. What if he had gone down to the Jordan River and instead of dipping seven times, he only dipped five times? Would he have been? Okay. How about six and a half? No, he had to do exactly what he was told, didn't he? Now, here's the deal. God could have said to him, the man of God could say, I want you to just jump up, do calisthenics seven times, and you're going to be healed. Doesn't matter. It could have been anything. And again, not a lot of people say this is a picture of baptism. That is not a picture of baptism, okay? It's a picture of healing here. He was cleansed of his leprosy very simply because of one thing. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. Okay, how are we cleansed of our leprosy? How are we cleansed of the spots that come into our life daily, weekly? We go to the throne of grace. We say, Lord, I'm not going to hide my spot. Here it is. I don't know how I got dirty. I didn't mean to get dirty. But or some of you may say, I did mean to get dirty. And I've been filthy. And now I can't do this anymore because I'm being eaten alive. It's taken over my whole being, my mind, my heart, my soul, everything. God says, listen, you need to just come. Come and be cleansed. Naaman was outside of the covenant of God. He was a Gentile, Syrian. We are children of God, sons and daughters of God. We are in the covenant, a better covenant. Amen? So we have to, what do? Well, we have to come to him. Listen to me. Is there something eating you alive this morning? Do you feel full of leprosy? Do you feel like something's just taking over your life and you know you're wrong. You know you need to get out of it. Well, listen, I have a great word directly from heaven, Isaiah 1:18, where God himself says this. He says, come now. Isn't that a great word? What an invitation. He says, God himself says, come now. And listen to what God says. Let us, God and me, let us reason together, meaning let's talk about this issue. Let's talk about that spot. Let's talk about that pornography. Let's talk about that addiction. Let's talk about it right now. Why are you trying to hide it from me? I'm the only one that can clean you up. You're helpless and hopeless without me. What? No one can remove sin but God. No one, do you hear me? No one can get us out of the things that we get into but Jesus Christ. No one else can do that. No doctor, no physician, no pill, no medicine, no one. But Jesus can cleanse a person from spots and sins. God says, come now. Let's talk about it. Let's reason together. He says, saith the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And let me quote verse 19. And if ye be willing, God's willing, if ye be willing, and then the word obedient. How many times do I need to dip in that dirty Jordan River, Lord? Just seven times, Bill. Just seven times. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God is so good. Church, listen to me. I love you with all my heart. But maybe you're here this morning, and I don't know what stage you're in, and I'm not saying that you're in any stage at all, but maybe someone is. Maybe those that are listening live right now, maybe you are. Listen very carefully. Don't get restless on me. Please don't do that. This is a holy moment, not a time to get ready to go eat dinner or lunch. Man, listen, what stage are you in? Or are you in a stage? I mean, is it just, Bill, I just got this small spot. I see the infection. I know what it's doing. I know that I shouldn't be doing it. I know it. It's my own fault. It's my own lust that's drawn me away. But it's just a spot. It hasn't started spreading yet, but it's there. Or maybe you might be saying, Bill, I'm covered. I'm lying about my life. I'm lying about my walk. I'm covered. I'm being totally eaten alive. This thing is eating my lunch. Jesus said, I am willing. And all you have to do by faith and obedience is be like the leper. He said, I broke every law. I took off my bell. I stopped saying unclean, but I saw someone, the only one that could help me. And I ran to you, Jesus. You can make me clean. You can make me clean right now. Father, we praise you. We praise you for the word today. Oh God, that you love us so much. That you warn us all over again about sin and the consequences of sin and the power of sin and what sin can do in our lives. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of your people, but I know that you love them, and I know that this church loves you, but I know that there are some here. They're in trouble. And it takes an act of faith on their part to say, yes, that's me. Yes, this is my spot. Yes, Lord, I'm not only just one spot, but I am covered in so many areas of my life. I want to be clean again. I want to be like Naaman. I want to be like, have the skin of a little child where you remove all of my past again, Lord. All the areas that I'm trafficking in that you've told me not to go to, I want them removed and I want to be cleaned up. As our heads are bowed, and every person in this room praying, and every person listening live praying. You know what? If that's you right now, in the name of Jesus, by an act of faith, just simply lift your hand to God and say, Lord, here's my spot. I want you to cleanse me. That's right. That's yes. Lift it to God, not to me, but to God. And say, Lord, here it is. You see it. I want out of it. I want, yes, all over. I want to be cleansed from it right now. I want it removed from my life. I want it gone. I'm sorry I stepped into it, Father. I'm sorry. I repent of it. And right now, because I, by faith, I believe you, Jesus, that I know. Oh, it's all gone. It is all forgiven. It is all cleansed in the name of Jesus.